is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul.
Next on News for the Soul, your spiritual life with Raymond Posch.
Raymond is a life mastery coach, writer, speaker, and host of the Spirituality Beckoning podcast. His book, Awakening to Wholeness, is a record of his exploration into spirituality and his personal awakening. As an avid speaker, his mission is to share his knowledge and help others to awaken to oneness and to make a positive difference in the world. Let's welcome Raymond back to News for the Soul.
Hello, TJ, to all of you listeners out there. This is another episode of Our Spiritual Life. I'd like to take a minute to wish everyone Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a joyful New Year. I know some of you in the U.S. are feeling the brunt of severe winter weather with power outages some places on top of extreme cold. Let us pray for a rapid recovery. For everyone, I remind you that we are all part of a higher power and universal wholeness. We need to align our consciousness and behavior with that wholeness. And we can do that through our commitment to spiritual love, awakening to our soul's calling, and choosing to live more consciously and true to the oneness of our souls. We can change humanity and the world in wonderful ways if we make that choice to do so. I have with me today another very interesting and intriguing guest. Her name is Victoria Rader. I'll tell you a little bit about her from what I know, and then I'll ask her to tell you what she's doing and what some of her background is as well. So, and we'll see where this goes. But I know just from what I know about Victoria that we're going to talk about some things like mindset and manifesting and empowerment. And I'm sure much, much more than that. So, again, welcome, Victoria. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Raymond. I think it's going to be a special treat for me as a guest and hopefully for your listeners.
All right. Yeah. So, you know, your biography didn't give me a nice little standard intro all packaged up, and like I say, you do many things, but you know, I see you do a lot of client sessions. You know, I don't know if you call that coaching or teaching. You do seminars. You have several books, and you do work with clients. So I think listeners that if you're particularly interested in what I mentioned, you know, how to change your mindset, how to manifest in more powerful ways, how to tap into your own inner power. And all of this is, you know, a natural part of understanding spirituality and that we are a part of the divine and that we have the ability to tap into that power. So stay tuned for this conversation. Now, Victoria, I'm going to turn it over to you a bit and let you talk about where you come from. I was very surprised to see you come originally from the Ukraine. And but you, as I say, you do a lot of different things, and you use some of your own terminology and your own the names of your own programs that will have meaning to people once they're introduced. So,
I think what I'll do is, and I think just share a story that probably best introduces the concepts that inspire me, that drive me, and that free, you know, hundreds and even thousands now of my subscription members and so forth. And that the story starts when I'm 5 in Ukraine, in former Soviet Union. When I was born, it was a part of the Soviet Union still, and I was watched by my grandpa. My mom and dad were at work, and I was playing, and as a 5-year-old with very inquisitive mind, I wanted to create a place to hang a dress for my doll. So I pulled out a metal pin out of my hair, and I stuck it into a socket in the wall. Gratefully, I was not electrocuted by a powerful 240 volts current. And the reason I wasn't killed was because of the resistance in the fuses. That incident was a catalyst to a lot of the early subconscious programs of fear of death or dying, because my grandpa was so worried about me dying, he rushed in, and there was an exchange, a very powerful exchange of energy where, you know, his fear became a part of my reality for a long time of living in fear of death. But looking back, the analogy that I've created and that I use is that, think of it this way, there is this power, which is electricity, that comes to the house, and the input of power is the same. Yet the output is determined by the resistance, meaning if I'm a 15-watt bulb and I'm right there in the refrigerator, the only light I can give off is 15 watts worth. But if I'm a 100-watt bulb and the same current of electricity is offered to me, my resistance is much smaller. I'm coming off shining at 100 watts of light. Now, that concept is the concept of empowerment if we allow ourselves to fully understand it. There is a divine current of power that I define as love, as life-originating vibrant emotion. That's the first acronym of my business, emotion being energy in motion. And that energy of creation, the divine power of love, is given to us and flows through us to the degree which we allow it based on our resistance. So then everything that I do with client work, everything my coaches do, everything our apps and our books do, every product, every service is dedicated to lowering the resistance in one of your energy centers. In the East they refer to as chakras. I refer to them as possibility centers. So every single time when you understand that you have 7 resistors in your body, and if you know how to start adjusting the flow through them, you become more empowered by true, genuine surrender to the power of love. So that story of a 5-year-old me in Ukraine has become a metaphor for everything that I do. And you know, for the amount of resistance that I have experienced, resisting that power that was given to me because of the fear of death, you know, because of the incidents of drowning, because of, you know, disease for myself and the family, or all these patterns of darkness that I tried to resist, you know, in early 2000s, I was looking for a way to get out of those patterns of resistance. And that's when I was woken up in the middle of the night with a subtle yet beautiful message: stop fighting the darkness, focus on the light. And that's how my company, You to Shine, was born.
Wow. very great story. And I love your analogy of electrical power, of how we can allow a very similar kind of power to flow into and, in fact, through us, you know, into the world. So that's a great analogy, and I don't think I've heard anyone use that in a long time. So thank you for that. And now you're doing all of these great things with what you've learned. Now, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing.
Yeah, you know, I'm passionate about so many little and big things, and one of those passions has guided us to creating an app that's called Empower-Me app. Back to the, you know, since we've kind of gotten on the topic of power. And so, you know, the inspiration behind that app has been the realization that, well, first level of connection to power is being completely powerless, right? And we've heard that people say, well, how do I know I'm powerless during the day? It's when I feel things are happening to me. And each one of us, no matter what our path of enlightenment is, going through the day can feel that something happened to us. When it does, it's very important to say, okay, I understand that at that moment, I'm feeling powerless because it happened to me, right? Like my husband just lost his phone. So the first step of awareness is always going to be, even for a second, oh my gosh, why did it happen to me, right? How long we stay in that second of powerlessness defines how much resistance we put to empowerment. So it's very normal and important to validate powerlessness first, because there is a part of us that is a scared part of who we are that needs to be accepted, loved, and validated. So a lot of this spiritual movement tries to suppress that part or reject it or say, that's not who I am. So if I'm fearful, you know, I need to push it away. I need to push fear to the side. And it's like, well, the only way is to welcome the fear into your life through love. So you say, that happened to me. Great. Now, next step is the power hunger. How has it happened for me? That formula, how did it happen for me, is very popular in personal development. And so everybody, you know, whether it is amazing Tony Robbins or amazing Les Brown, Les Brown says, got to be hungry, right? There's that hunger for power. And once again, that period is very important. Shifting from this happened to me to grateful mindset, how has it happened for me? But what I found, and that's where why the app was created, what I found is so many people get stuck on power hunger. And they continually achieve and achieve and achieve, and yet they feel empty. So they feel things happening to them. But now, instead of their victim ego that thought life happens to them, there, for the lack of a better word, predator ego is born, because they want everything to happen for them. They want to be the center of the universe. Now, we are a center of the universe. Each one of us is a center of the universe. We just are not the center of the universe. And so then the shift becomes of true empowerment is, wait a minute, you know, if life happens to me, I'm a victim. If life happens for me, yes, first I'm a winner, but then I can become a predator. So what is the true empowerment? It's life happens through me. And it's a huge adaptation. So the app then shows you, and it's intuitively created app. If you want to have a question to an answer, you go to the answer deck, you shake the phone, and it aligns you for the answer to go through you, that you become the mechanism of that. It channels the money laws. It allows for you to process grief. A lot of us are not prospering because we're grieving. It has 3-minute meditations. Meditation is important. Not all of us have 4 hours or even 20 minutes. So it has 3-minute guided meditations, and we're continually adding to it. So this is my passion baby. We're continually building on to it.
Yeah. Yeah, you call that your empowerment app, or you call, I forgot the name that you use.
It's Empower-Me, and it's little M, big E. And we can chat why that is, but that's what the name is.
Yes. And the model that you're using there, you know, it goes to another level beyond through me, and that's as me. And so I don't know if you get into that or not, but yes, that's a very good model to think about how we relate to the world. And, you know, all of us certainly at some point, you know, are or have been deep in the grasp of victimhood, you know, and then we grow to the next level, as you said, where we allow more to come to us or for us. Again, and that tends to be very much an ego. So I love what you're talking about. Yeah, tell us a bit about what you just said there. And well, let me back up a moment here. So, yeah, you use this, what would I call this, unique identifier in your programs where you talk about me with a small M and a capital E. Now, what's that all about?
You know, the concept was channeled while I was writing one of my books, and I was going to write a book that was called Love Me. Well, there's always a story leading to a story, but that's where we'll start. And as I was pondering on it, what came through was little M, big E. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'm probably given this as a pattern interrupt. You know, I have learned about pattern interrupt and neurolinguistics programming, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe when people see little M, big E, it'll impact how they see themselves. You know, maybe it'll just be, they'll ask why. Why me in a healthy way? Not why me because things are horrible, but love me. Why me? Why love me? What a great question to ask. Why love me? You know, all day long. So I'm thinking, assigning the meaning to this revelation or divine insight. And I'm walking around, you know, and it's taken a couple of days until I said, well, you know, why don't I ask the same source that gave me the revelation, the meaning of it? I mean, what an idea. What an idea to ask God for a follow-up question. So I have. And I had chills all over my body because I was shown that the little M, big E, meaning I am me, stands for every concept that I've come to hold near and dear to my heart, meaning each one of us is mortal, little M, surrendering to eternal, big E, matter, surrendering to energy, material, surrendering to essential, and manifesting, surrendering to expansive. Like, the concept summarizes everything that I believe dear in and that we create as a company. And so, and how is that surrender back to surrendering through love? So that is the meaning behind me. And hence, the first book has shifted, and we went to one of those centers for, possibility centers that I was talking, and became Prosper Me, the 35 Universal Laws to Make Money Work for You, where we take the universal concepts, they're universal because they can be applied to every area of your life, and then I share a story from my life, I give the energy affirmation or shift that changes subconscious, and then I give three steps to practically take in your life now to start opening the doors of prosperity. Hence me. That's why our coaches are Empower Me Coaches, Empower Me Academy, and so forth and so on.
All right. I love that. And it's quite a story, too, on how that came to you. But I love the what you talk about in terms of material surrendering to, or we could say becoming or shifting to energy. I think, you know, lots of people are becoming aware of this in different ways. But I think my view of it is my feeling, you know, so many of us have been seeking spiritual answers, you know, wanting to grow spiritually. But I think lots of us get stuck in spiritual growth and learning this next new thing and maybe never quite getting to, or maybe surrendering to is the right word to say, the lesson that's contained. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's that addiction to the result versus the joy of the process that we as humanity are recovering from. So, you know, we're trained from early childhood to be judged by the results of our effort. And we take that old pattern of behavior to our spiritual growth. And we still apply it, thinking that enlightenment is the result. No. Enlightenment is a process of expanding the light that you are. That's all there is to it. And, you know, you can always find where your highest addiction to result is by the level of disappointment of not getting the result that you thought you were seeking. So, you know, in manifesting, I always teach, it's wonderful to have goals. Without goals, we never move. But the addiction to goal is what keeps us continually disappointed. So it's so beautiful to set a goal and understand that the goal is for growing, not for getting. And that as you grow through the goal, you might or might not have a result that you want to manifest, but you will expand past that marker, hence manifesting surrender to expanding, into something that is much more needed by your soul for the process of your, you know, enlightenment.
Yes. Beautiful. Have you ever read the book, book four of the Conversations with God books, Awaken to the Species?
No, I have not.
All of those Conversations with God books are beautiful, and they are true conversations with God. And they are channeled basically through Neil Donald Walsh, who's the author. And but in Awaken the Species, which is a fairly recent book, the last couple of years, God talks about awakening, and that awakening is not about how you change, about the changes in yourself, but about changing your mind about yourself, you know, understanding who you really are, what you really are. And in fact, God says in there that success should not be about the results. It should be about the process. It should be about, and it particularly talks about the interactions you have with other people in the process of life or doing whatever you're doing. And the love you demonstrate and the goodness in those interactions, I guess I could say, are really what it's about. Now, if you really awakened in that way, then results will begin to come to you naturally and with less effort, et cetera. So, you know, it's very, it's a great concept, a great truth that you're really talking about there.
Well, I think it's because we are blinded to what we're really seeking by the filter of material things. So when somebody says, you know, I want to have a bigger house, I ask them what feeling they're seeking, because we are seeking a feeling and a frequency of a feeling. But because we're detached from those frequencies, we translate them to material things that we believe will bring those feelings. So if somebody says, well, I want to have more money, well, the question is why? To feel more secure. It's the only reason for having more money, to maybe to feel more free. So how can we create the receptors for you to be able to receive and experience freedom and for you to feel that you're deserving of the freedom you're born for without waiting for a material manifestation to give you a permission? So one of the practical things that all of us can do is when there is a desire to have something in your life, ask what feeling you're seeking that you believe you would receive from having that desire met, and then put your hand on your heart and simply say, I receive permission to feel this now. Because so many of us as kids were not allowed to feel certain feelings, and so we are still waiting for permission from an imaginary parent or from real parent, from ourselves, from something else, to experience the frequency of that feeling. So when you, and you don't say, I give myself permission, because it might not have been you who has taken it away, but when you say, I receive permission to feel this, with your hands on your heart, you close your eyes and you feel what that permission feels like. And then you say, now, if I feel that, how would I act today? Which is why the acting from the place of frequency as if already having it so important. So that's the simple mechanic of truly manifesting what it is your soul has come to manifest and create versus being distracted. And I'm not, you know, I love material things. I'm not trashing material things. They're part of this reality. Mm-hmm. They're just not to distract us from a spiritual reality.
Very, very well said. I love what you're teaching there. That's a lesson that's worth this episode right now. So thank you. I love it. I love it when we can translate, you know, get a real learning in the process instead of just talking about. So thank you very much. I noticed that, as I said, you do many different things with your clients and your books. And one of the things that I noticed you talk about is subconscious patterns that we all, you know, and I call it the programming that, you know, of the ego. We accumulate all of this programming, which tends to be very subconscious in many ways. But yeah, talk about how you help your clients with those subconscious patterns and how they can break through to change.
Yeah, one of the wonderful things that we offer is called Quantum Freedom Group, and it's a subscription group where I offer four different channeled programs a month. One of them is group healing, where people ask for a healing. And now healing doesn't mean they're sick, right? Our body is continually healing. Healing is the process of expanding. That's a shift in and of itself. A lot of us create disease and problems because we think in order to heal, we have to go from bad to good. So just understanding that healing is, and that is a way of maintaining wholeness, allows for us and gives us permission to, oh my goodness, I can go do healing, meaning I can go from good to greater, and I can keep asking how much better can it get. So when people come and they have certain dilemmas that they present, I do mini sessions, 2-3 minutes per person based on the size of the live group. And then what I've discovered, and that's a gift to all of us, is that we, because we're all part of one, we process similar patterns of subconscious shifts of common consciousness of all who we are through our individual resistance markers, our individual blocks. So the power of doing a group of 20 people, each thinking they're healing a leg or an eye or a relationship with their dog or with their spouse, all of a sudden the picture comes through. So for example, we just, I did an amazing group healing on Wednesday where we were learning the difference between possessing and belonging. And we were removing some, and it's just a very powerful shift that humanity is going through right now, where we have this desire to possess things that we haven't processed yet. Desire to possess things causes wars. Desire to possess people causes slavery and human trafficking. Mm-hmm. And so detaching ourselves from possessing things closes our aura, our energy field, from being possessed by entities, by dark energies, by thought forms, by anything, however you define the energy that is not light, that is the opposite of light, which in this reality, there is a law of polarity, so there is an opposite of light. So as you detach yourself from possessing, you're sealing your energy from being possessed. Just a subtle shift. And then you know how to own the light that you are, and how that light, by expanding, allows you to be a steward, for the lack of a better word, of God's great abundance.
Yes.
You no longer worry about possessing it. You get to, well, I don't know what the supervised word is, but to take care, to be responsible for in the most loving way. So that was just one of the small examples that, you know, that I found right now in common consciousness. So if you have lost a thing and you're grieving over losing it, or if you right now are having that burning desire to buy something, you're processing the detachment and the need to possess in order to be, to own who you are.
Yes. I love that. And again, and I don't know where you've personally learned all of this wisdom, but that particular message is right out of Awakening the Species as well, and obviously, by the way, that book is about We who are spiritually awakened or spiritually open to change and to growth are being called on to participate in the continued evolution of human consciousness, and that it's particularly needed in the world right now. We are still very wrapped up in ego and non-loving ways of being, and I'm not going to go off into that book right now, but that idea that you just brought up, that we have to shift to understand that we are all one, that because we are all one, it makes no sense for us to compete with each other. We need to work with and share with each other. We need to be stewards of the world's resources and not see ourselves as owners of those resources, because we are all one. They should be shared. And so you're touching on some very powerful ideas, and some ideas that, you know, frankly, when people first think about them, are huge, huge ideas of how will we ever make that shift? You know, the shift from away, you know, from a sharing instead of ownership seems like a big shift. You know,
I think as always, the trap of what's happening is the trap of self-righteousness. And what I mean by that is that there's only one answer as to how we will shift, by shifting us and us only. Because what is happening now is that it's, well, here's this concept of sharing, so let me go make you share. Let me go change the laws or the rules, and I'm going to make you share.
Right.
And that is an external force.
Right.
That in and of itself will cause resistance. Because what does self-righteousness feel like? It's very simple. It's, I somehow think I know what's best for you. That's the delusion of a spiritual ego. I can only know what's best for me. I can only know how I can live from the place of sharing. And I'm going to trust that the love that I have for you will awaken within you in your time the same desire. I have no right to go claim upon that desire prematurely for you. So that's, you know, and when I say the self-righteousness of, I think I know what's best for you and I'm going to come and save you, whether you take crusades or Islamic fanatics or politicians, I will save you. No, I will save you. You know, but the pattern remains. And so I think that's what we're overcoming right now, as to where the only way for us to bring the light that we've come to bring as light workers is by being that light, not shaking it out of somebody else. You know,
yes.
I tell the story of my kids. I was homeschooling my kids and they were little, and every Monday we had this story, I call it a family home evening time, you know, where traditionally in the religion that, you know, that we were practicing, every Monday you had like spiritual time together. And I'm like, well, we're going to pray right now. I mean, come on, you know, like my 3-year-old, we got to pray. And I'm like, we're going to be reverent and we're going to pray. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to teach you. I'm just going to teach you how to be reverent. I mean, what a lunacy, right? So I'm going to force you to be peaceful. What a lunacy, okay? But being a mother, I'm an active lunatic. You know, that's how we learn. So, and that moment, I have a very clear vision, you know, and God speaks to me, and I'm shown a very clear vision of a plant. You know, how can you make the plant grow? You can't. You can only create an environment for it to grow. If you have a little sapling, you are not going to make it be 3 feet tall. You cannot. By pulling it up, you will uproot it. Its roots will dry out and it'll die. So the only process of growing is to nurture the soil it's in. And so just because, you know, you and I or somebody else who's listening to this amazing thing feels that, wait a minute, I know how somebody else has to grow, whether it is somebody else, is their spouse, their family, their country, or our globe. The only thing we can do is to nourish the soil by continually pouring the love that we've come to bring and the light that we are. Otherwise, we are put on prematurely. And they become even angrier because they resist the self-righteousness that the spiritual ego brings.
Yes. Again, that's a beautiful, beautiful kind of teaching. And I'm so glad you're here with us to talk about this. You know, when you were talking about your kids there, I saw somewhere on your website, I think, that you're a mom and you homeschool your kids. And, you know, I relate to that. My daughter homeschools her kids. And I see how demanding that is. And, you know, she's a great homeschool teacher. She's very organized, but it takes a lot of time and energy on her part. And I'm sure it does yours too. So you must have yourself pretty well together to be able to do that. Do you ask for the energy and the guidance every morning to, another day?
The kids are now grown. My daughter is 25 and she's a doctorate student in University of Colorado. She is doing neuroscience and genetics. And my son is graduating. He's 21 and he is graduating in biomedical engineering. So they are, you know, have adult children. So I've homeschooled them, my daughter through the first 10 grades and my son through 9 grades. And it was really the most incredible time of learning for me, right?
Yes.
I think hopefully the one thing as a parent that I can, in terms of spirituality, that I could share, the greatest lesson I've learned is that this great divine intelligence would not have trusted us, the spirits, for forming them. That's ego of a parent speaking. We cannot break them. We cannot make them. But it is a gift of the divine for us to grow into who we've come to be. You know, the sooner you understand that as a parent, the sooner you detach the responsibility of, I don't know. But once you understand you're there to learn more than you are to teach, you can then teach so much more by learning from them. You know, that was my experience.
It's true. Yeah. And, you know, they say the best way to become a teacher is to teach, whether you're ready or not. And you'll, you know, hopefully you'll learn the lessons that you need to share with others. So, yes, that's a beautiful idea. Let's talk just a little bit about, you know, I see that you do so much in terms of empowering other people. And some of that is focused, I think, on entrepreneurship, you know, helping like other women or other people be more successful entrepreneurs. But I guess we could kind of summarize that or simplify it into the idea of manifesting. What have you learned about manifesting? Manifesting is very interesting because, you know, I and so many other people have struggled with that. You know, it worked this period of time and it was beautiful. Now it doesn't work anymore. What is wrong with me? And it's, you know, answering those questions are so hard, it seems.
I love what you just said with answering those questions is so hard. But I'll let you finish. I believe I've interrupted you. I'm sorry, Raymond. Please finish your thought.
Okay. Well, no. So I was going to ask, you know, so how do you help others, your clients, with the whole idea and process of manifesting?
Yeah. See, I've always say that the brilliant answer hides in a brilliant question. It can be no other way. And so that's why I wanted to pause and just say the way you've asked the question has an answer in it. I often joke and say that, but I'm not really joking, that Shakespeare was the first manifestation and metaphysician known to us because he said very simply, to be or not to be, that is the question. And so there is a concept of our subconscious mind doesn't understand negation. It simply does not. So it will manifest the frequency of either to be or not to be. What do I mean by that? If I'm going to ask you right now to not think whether you have a car or not, do not think what color your car is. do not think whether you have leather seats or fabric seats. How did we do? Like, we all saw our car, color and all. Because the subconscious only responds to the frequency of what it is we're describing. So, and the question frames it so, when I say to be or not to be, we're continually manifesting exactly the frequency at which we are. If I want to be fit and whole more, then I don't want to be sick and, you know, I don't know, fat. Then I am going to manifest it. But if my desire to not be sick is greater than my desire to be whole, I will manifest that. So we are amazing manifestors. We're continually manifesting either our greatest desire or fear, whichever one is the dominant frequency.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when you see things happening in your life, you simply get to look at yourself with love in the mirror and say, wait a minute, I really didn't want this to happen. And I didn't want this to happen a little bit more than I wanted the opposite. Because I really don't know how to want what I want more. Why? Because most of us are detached from what we really want. So I'm going to give you four questions of identifying that. Because a lot of us are manifesting things we think we should manifest. Or we are told to manifest, or we think are a good idea to manifest, or we want. But our subconscious is wiser than that. It manifests only that we really don't want or we really want, whatever is stronger. So the first question, and I would suggest not skipping the questions because it's the flow of the subconscious that answers all of them and we want to process through. Mm. You will write down, what is everything I want? And you got to write down all things that come through, let's say for 3 minutes. What else do I want? What else do I want? Without judgment. You know, if you want to go hit your neighbor, this is the time to write, I want to go hit my neighbor. Without your higher self spanking you. Because you got to let it come out of you. You got to let it come out. Because if you are suppressing the desires that are negative, you cannot manifest the desires that are positive. So if you know, I'm Ukrainian. I have a desire. I hope Putin drops dead tomorrow. Is that a spiritually high frequency? Of course not. Am I aware that my lower self has that as a desire and I accept its desire without acting on it or manifesting it, but without denying it? Why? Because denying it will block my ability to manifest what I'd rather want. Just a simple example. Mm-hmm. So know all you want without judgment. It doesn't mean you're going to manifest it. It doesn't mean you're going to go for it. The second question you're going to write down and answer is, what do I want the most? So now that you've looked at everything you want and you're somewhat shocked about bad things you want, you forgive yourself, you hug yourself, you say, hi, human, we're doing such a great job here, we're clearing it out. What do I want the most? Then you're going to write down the third question, what outcome do I want? Because out of what we want the most, there will be the outcomes that we want to want. So when you say, I want to spend time with my spouse, well, what outcome do you want? Well, and then you start discussing what it is that you really want. And the fourth question will be in this prep work is, what outcome do I want the most? Now, once you've arrived at what outcome do I want the most, that and only that is what your soul is here to manifest at this moment, without distraction and without being blocked by all the low things. What outcome do I want the most as you process all the other four questions? Once you have that, you're going to have two steps. Before you go to bed, you're going to say, okay, what would having this outcome look like in my life? Create a mental picture that everybody teaches on. What would that represent to you? And go into the moment, visualize the moment of feeling it right there in your life as you drift to sleep. You're manifesting that very outcome as you drift to sleep. In my life, it was seeing my mom and dad walk on the beach in front of my beach home, from which this program is recorded. And I'm a girl in Ukraine that had an outhouse and no indoor plumbing in my grandparents' house. So I can teach you from the outhouse to the beach house, right? And that's, what outcome do you want the most? Because, see, I didn't want the beach house for the sake of the beach house. It represented to me my retired mom and dad who worked so hard and sacrificed so much for me. And so every night before going to bed, I would see that picture. And I got to tell you, when that picture happened in my life, I stood there on the deck of my beach home sobbing because I'd seen it so many times for the years coming up to it. But then how do you act it into reality? In the morning you wake up, and here's the step that's missing. What would a person that already has it in their life, what would be one or two or best three, what would be three things I would do as that person to connect me to that? What would be three things? And then all of a sudden, if you are building a business and you need to make a cold call, you're not making a cold call to make money. You are simply supporting the vision you've already created. That's your puppy now. Love it.
Come here. I'm sorry for that.
Oh, no. They've exchanged their pleasantries.
Okay.
So that's the process of manifesting.
Wow. So repeat that last part again. What would be three things?
Yes. What are three action steps I can take today as a person who already has created this in their life in order to make a physical connection? And then ponder, and you know, God speaks to you and through you, to all of us. Ponder until you get those three action steps. And then just take them. No matter what, take them. So, you know, in the Prosper Me book, I call it the law of growth. And the formula is mindset multiplied by skill set multiplied by effort equals results. And so we are equaling results into infinite process, right? Because we are measuring the process through results. So we are process-oriented, using results as markers to shift. We're not result-oriented.
Right. Okay. Got it. Yes. Hey, for everyone's listening, you want to think about that. I'm thinking about, I want to see that book, Empower Me. So.
Yes, the Empower-Me app and the book. Yes. Well, you know, with the book, the best way to approach the book is to take a free quiz. If you go to moneyquiz.me, and now we all know why it's me, little ambiguous, so moneyquiz.me, it's a very fun and light quiz that aligns you with your driving emotion that you've come into this world with as one of the four, you know, with a compassion, a value. And if you'll recognize that emotion in your life, and then it tells you the three laws that are most likely blocking you from living in prosperity. Mm. So then you can get the book, and then you can start with those three laws and then go to the next law as guided. Make that your experience, you know, make it your experience.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yes. Well, let's see. So let me jump back to what I said at the beginning and ask you, we've definitely talked about manifesting and empowerment. And I would say that we've touched on mindset, but yeah, tell us what you think about mindset and how you approach that whole idea.
Yeah, you know, I've been asked to speak on mindset one too many times as to where I said, okay, God, I hear you. What do you want me to know about mindset? know? And what I've come to realize is that sometimes we say the word mindset and it could be we could have a feeling that it's something that is set in stone or it is a set way to be. But I look at mindset as a set of mental faculties that create our reality. And there's six. There's six mental faculties. There is imagination. There's intuition, there's perception, there's memory, reason, and will. So now you say, wait a minute, isn't that amazing? Now that I know there are six faculties of the mindset, in order for me to shift the mindset, I can choose one of those six faculties and improve it, just moving a needle in one of them. You know, for the sake of time, we can't go into all six. Let's go just into imagination. Because, you know, we were talking in terms of manifestation and empowerment. That seems to be the one that's most aligned. So we cannot create what we cannot imagine. Okay, I understand that, right? So when somebody says dream big, you're going to only dream big to the capacity of your imagination to dream. Then what determines your imagination? Your self-image. You cannot out-dream your self-image. Great. Where does the self-image derive from? From your awareness of your self-worth. You see, your self-image is simply a reflection of your awareness of your self-worth. Because as you truly understand that in the fabric of time and space, there is no better energy to have filled the space that you currently fill, that alone gives you an allowance for feeling worthy of being who you are. That alone opens you to the flow of love as you are. The deeper you connect to your self-worth, the healthier is your self-image, the grander your imagination, the greater your capacity to imagine the life to create. And that's just one aspect of mindset. So if one of our coaches would be working, let's say Carolyn is the Accept Me coach on our team. So if she scans your energy and finds that you cannot accept your own self-worth, you cannot manifest, not what you want. You can only manifest the life of a person whose self-worth you believe you are, in that deepest, darkest pocket of who you are.
Yes. Wow. And I can see we could go on and talk about this for the next hour or so. But what a great example that is. I hadn't thought about it quite that way before. We can talk about, and so many people do talk about, we have to use imagination to really to visualize what we want. And it's all automatically going to be affected by what you say, our self-image and our self-worth. Very worthwhile thinking about.
Yeah, and so we got these two ingredients. A, we don't really know what we want, and B, we can't imagine. And so we're like, well, I'm stuck manifesting. Of course. Welcome to being human.
Yes. And by the way, thank you so much for those four questions that you gave us there on manifesting, because that really kind of sets the tone on what you're talking about in terms of manifesting and mindset. Very powerful. I'm so glad we've had you here today to talk to us. Go ahead now say any final words you would have for the audience, and then give them your website again, or websites where they can learn more about what you do and about you.
Yeah, whenever I have an opportunity and invited to do so, I share this last sentiment that at some point has encouraged me to be removing the resistance, and now that I use with my clients as a reminder. And that is a story that starts in 1400s. You might have heard the story, but I always tell people, open your heart to my version of it because it might touch you differently, right? And so in 1400s, there's a sculptor whose name is Donatello, and he's given a slab of marble and he's commissioned to carve, a sculpture. So he studies that slab of marble, and he finds that it has too many veins and would be feeble, and decides to reject it. He rejects it for over 50 years. 50 years later, another Italian sculptor, whose name is Michelangelo, out of that same marble, carves what's arguably one of the greatest sculptures of Western civilization, which is David. Now, I've been to Florence. David stands in the open elements. It's not in the museum. 500 years later, David stands open to all elements, what supposedly was a feeble marble. Now, when Michelangelo is asked by his contemporaries, how could you possibly carve this masterpiece out of faulty marble? He says, I saw the angel in the marble, and I carved until I set him free.
Mm-hmm.
It gets me every time. And I believe that everything that we attempt to do is simply give you carving tools to free the angel that you are. That's my little calling, my little puzzle in the great big part of our life, and that is giving you the tools to carve that marble. And so you can find out more at our website. It's you2shine.com, YU2shine.com, YU2shine.com. And follow me on Instagram at Vika, V-I-C-A underscore Rader, R-A-D-E-R. We always try to offer a lot of cool, light insights.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. This has been a wonderful conversation, and I can say is thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thank you for creating the space.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.